Well, we have to think and talk about money today in church. And in fact, in the next month or so, we'll be thinking and talking about money in church. During the month of October, our stewardship leaders and our vestry will be engaging us in thinking about how we want to love God and support the ministries of this parish through our giving of our gifts of time and talent and treasure for 2014. Now, for some, it's a sensitive topic. And even if we didn't have a stewardship campaign coming up, and even if the vestry were, say, to pass a policy saying, we won't talk about money in this particular church, we would still have to. Because that is what Jesus does. Time and again, money or wealth or possessions or the use of what we have, be it money or time or talent, is a primary topic for Jesus in his ministry and in his teachings. He talked about it a lot, and for a simple reason. For Jesus, God's relationship to us covers and embraces everything that is important to us. So a simple thought experiment. If money has no importance to you in your life and has no effect on how you live your life, then you don't need to worry about how it will affect your relationship to God, and we don't need to talk anymore. But if money concerns you or affects you in any way, if you grow anxious about it, excited about it, burdened by it, or blessed by it, well then, Jesus is saying that it's something worthy of being addressed. And so he tells us parables, the one we heard today and others. He gives us words of advice, some of them clear, some of them confusing. In fact, our gospel lesson today may be a kind of collection of teachings that Luke has gathered together with this one parable followed by several different teachings, all of which don't necessarily seem to connect to the parable. And what about that parable itself? A manager of an estate who, having been dishonest in his own dealings, wins friends by cutting the debts in half of those who owe money to the owner of the estate. And I will be frank, I am not sure what to make of this parable. So let me start at the end of the gospel lesson with the very last teaching of Jesus that we hear today. No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. That's much clearer. And there's a stark contrast for you. And oh, the choice that it implies. Those of you old enough to remember Jack Benny, the comedian, who made much of his own stinginess, probably recall his classic story of being held up by a robber on the street who held up a gun to him and said, "Your money or your life." And then, of course, there's this long period of silence, and the robber finally says, "Well," and Jack Benny responds by saying, "I'm thinking." You cannot serve two masters, suggesting that it indeed is a question of money and accumulating it, or of life. Jesus consistently invites us to see God as the sovereign of our lives, the one to whom we turn with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul, and it would seem, with all of our money. Devote yourself fully to God. A wonderful ideal, but is it possible? The truth of our lives is we do serve, often, two masters. In fact, we often serve many masters. Is there a person amongst us who does not feel pulled in different directions by different priorities? Some of us with very little money feel the continual pressure of making enough to make ends meet. Some of us with an abundance of money may feel the weight of wanting to make good and wise choices about giving it away. And there are other masters, We may serve the master of family expectations, the master of being the very best parent that we can be, the master of meeting the professional goals we have set for ourselves. And even those obligations we freely take on, which may feed us and nourish us, sometimes pull us in uncomfortable directions. Look at most of our calendars and the many ways in which we commit ourselves, and we know that there are times when we try to serve too many masters and wonder where God is in the midst of it all. So how is it possible to obey this commandment of Jesus? You cannot serve two masters. Is it my obligation to give away everything I have in order to be a faithful disciple? For some, the answer may be yes to that question. And the body of Christ is full of persons whose lives bear witness to that. Nuns, monks, who adopt vows of poverty and obedience, for example. Other Christian communities who adopt lives of simplicity, living in communities that forego much of what we might consider necessary for life. But if you are not feeling called in that particular way, perhaps another word of advice or teaching from Jesus this day might speak to you. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. I guess I want to say this to us today. To serve God and God alone with the fullness of our being is in some ways an impossibility, and Jesus knows that. But what if we, quite intentionally and with clear purpose, find ways to be faithful even in a little? Come October, the leadership here at St. John's will be asking all of us to make pledges of time and talent and treasure. I've stated before that a classic Christian understanding of offering ourselves to God is to offer the first tenth of what we have, the first tenth of our income to God, to give it away before we even look at any of our other needs, to church, to charity, to those causes that have great meaning for us. And to some, that may seem like an impossibility. But even if that is an impossibility, some level of commitment, some kind of commitment, is to be faithful in a little. And if we make that commitment, make that space, and make that place in our lives, it begins to open a door, to create a window, to create a space for God and God's grace to work. Let me share an experience of my own life, not about money, but about another resource, if you will. There was a time in my life when I simply could not engage in a disciplined life of prayer. It was a time when I was serving as a minister, and I know I had expectations for myself that the day would begin with extended prayer, the day would end with extended prayer, and there would be formal times of prayer throughout the day. But I was serving lots of masters in that period in my life, and a formal and disciplined prayer life was just not happening. And then I became aware of something, and it was this: that as I was awakening each morning, and when I often awake, it's to a laundry list of what's ahead for the day and the anxieties that they may provoke. Instead, I was awakening with just a deep sense of gratitude for the day that was before me. Now, that may have had something to do with the fact that there were several people in my life close to me who were going through significant health challenges. And as I considered what they were facing, I was feeling enormous gratitude that I could just get out of bed that morning and begin the day. So I began to try to be a little more intentional about that. And as morning came, to simply focus on that gratitude. And it was a good thing. But here was the surprise. What I began to discover was that throughout the day, feelings of gratitude would just begin to spring up like little wellsprings. Uncalled for, unprovoked, the sheer grace of God that began to connect the rest of my day to that morning prayer. And I began to discover that to be faithful in a little was to become faithful in much, as more and more of my day began to be overtaken by God's grace. Do you find the many masters you serve keep you from prayer? Then pray a little and discover the grace of God that will turn prayer into a wellspring of refreshing water throughout your life. Do you find the many masters you serve keep you from the life of discipleship that you want to live? Does the call to be a peacemaker in a world still so consumed by violence seem impossible to fulfill? Then do what you can. Be faithful in a little. Take one small step, and you may be surprised at how God will make you a witness for peace in this community, in this city, in this world. And the same is true of how we handle our time, our wealth, our possessions. Do the commands of Jesus sound impossible to fulfill? Then be faithful in the little bit that does feel possible. Has money or the lack thereof become a master of you? Then let God be the master of that one small gift you can make. Give what you can, and discover how God will create wellsprings of generosity in every part of your life. For after all, if a dishonest steward could be commended for making money by shrewd means, will God not honor every intention that we have to serve, to love, and to give, no matter how incomplete they may sometimes seem? We know we cannot serve two masters. And the reality is, we know that we try to serve all too many. We know the impossibility of fully giving ourselves over to God. But we also know this: we can be faithful in a little. And in so doing, we will discover just how faithful God always is to us. Amen.